This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
I'm Jared Stern. I think people should listen because we're desperate for attention right now.
I'm also Jared Stern.
This is what I like to call an exercise in benign narcissism.
And you're between two Sterns. I do love how these, like every one of these Zooms or Teams or whatever always brings you in with no camera on and your audio muted. Like, they get it. It's the only piece of technology that I think really gets it that I've seen. They're like, we don't know what they're going into, so we're going to mute them coming into it. It's fine.
Yep. Just in case you're going to come in with a drunken racist tirade, it saves you from yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi. Hey.
I feel like, yeah, so you turn the recording on and then we just like started talking, but hey.
I forgot about my customary hello, which
that's not customary anymore. We're not trying to make that customary anymore.
Between two Stern. What are we doing at this point? Are we trying to say it at the same time? Oh, I'm good. I had an exciting week. I got some fun stuff to talk about.
Well, I'm glad because I don't have a whole lot. I've got, you know, one or two things. I did want to bring up before we kick the show into full gear. I want to share a couple updates from last week's episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the video, but the Between Two Sterns iRacing car with your driver, Chris Papa, made it to like the finals of this, of this race that he was going to, I think the Whaley Pete 200, I believe is what he was competing in. And I just saw the video and I have to say it, there could not be a more appropriate ending to a race with a car with our two faces on it.
I completely agree. I did not watch it. I didn't even know that this video was around because I religiously stay off Facebook. The only time I'm on Facebook is to send you the link for this Zoom meeting each week.
Have you not seen it yet?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it's on the Facebook page.
Funny thing about the car, for those listeners who have seen the car, it's the Between Two Sterns logo right on the front, right on the hood there. Uh-huh. And then Jared on one side and me on the other. Now, here's the fun thing. I had to Google something that I apparently have been getting wrong for years, which is I used to always say that the reason why the right side of the ship is the stern is because we're always right. And I recently discovered that the right side of the ship is not the stern.
No.
Nor is it the left side. It's the back of the ship.
Yeah. How did you not know that?
Not a single human being has ever corrected me on this. Not once. This is just how confident I sound when I say things. Like, people are like, maybe, is it the right? He said, like, and it leads into it. But yeah, the car looked fantastic. I was impressed with it.
With the limited resources that I gave him,
yeah,
which was just like two PNG files, he decked it out. It's got the graffiti font logo, and then the two of us are on the hood. And then you're on one side of the car and your face is on one side of the car. And my face is on the other side of the car. And it is a thing of beauty. Thank you again
to Chris
Papa for putting that together.
You've seen the race, yes?
Well, he posted like the last five laps of the race.
Chris is going to have to confirm this for me, but I get the distinct impression that somebody may end up calling him out on cheating because my assumption is if the graphics are as good in this game as modern 2021 graphics are, then I assume that the sun reflecting off my pasty white face on that car is so bright that it's blinding the other drivers and sending them into each other. I am a white ghost on that car. It's insane.
It is. That is a strategy right there. Yeah. To just kind of turn the car facing the sun, facing the quote unquote sun, whichever ambient light source is coming in. I mean, the race looks fantastic. It looks like it's an actual stock car race.
I got to see this. I
through the magic of editing, you can fucking watch it right now.
Oh shit, you're right.
It's not that long.
Let me pull this up. Look at this.
I know.
I mean, looking realistically, we should have had him put something on the stern of the ship, of the car.
There is something on the stern.
Well, the back hood, the stern hood.
There's really not that much room.
I know.
On the back of it, but our
I love him cutting around the camera angle so that we could see everything.
Yeah, I mean, but the name of the show is on the back of it.
I see it. This is incredible. Look at how professional all the rest of the cars look at our stupid faces going around this track.
Now you get more screen time than I do because your face is facing the audience of the
They looked at my face and I just saw 12 cars tumble out. Like, I'm telling you, my face is a distraction to them.
He avoids a wreck early on.
They're like, why did Macklemore eat the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? What is happening about this? Big shout out to Chris for doing this. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was nice to see our egos in motion.
Did we discover whether or not Chris did better or worse with our faces strapped to his car? Did we find that out?
You just wait. Just wait.
Yeah. Does he Days of Thunder it?
I don't know what that means. I've never seen
Days of Thunder. You've seen Days of Thunder?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So for those,
so apparently he was like feet from winning. Like he could have won this race and won like $800, I think he said, but he got spun out at the very end. And yes, it is pretty much a metaphor for our lives in general.
We're so close to success and then we spit out at the end.
Spin out. Yep.
At one point, so he's driving, for those of you who are listening who are like, oh, I'll watch that when I get home, and then are never going to watch it. So he's driving and he spins out at the end. And for a brief second, it looks like he's going to drive the car backwards, like on the track, but then keeps going. But yeah, big shout out to Chris. Thanks, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool.
That's so cool.
If you'd like to share in our general elation, the link to the video is on the Facebook page. We'll also put the link to the video in the post for the episode. We'll do that too. But yeah, thank you again to Chris. I hope that it doesn't pour salt in the wound that I stomped him like a narc at a biker rally in fantasy football. I think I beat him by over 100 points. Like he didn't crack 100, and then it was spanked him.
If we're starting with fantasy football, your boy won another round this week. Come on. And I'm paying attention to it a little bit. I'm changing the people around. I'm making sure nobody's on a bye. I'm barely holding on. I'm like that car spinning around in eighth place.
Well, your chances of making the playoffs are gradually increasing.
I think what was I at last week? I was at 15%. And now I'm at 32.
That's right. So,
and I'm in a close matchup with this other guy this week. I mean, we're still hovering around that 50-50 mark. So we'll see.
There are a lot of big games with big playoff implications this week. The playoff field will start gelling after this week.
Okay.
I was very happy to see you pull it out. You had to wait until Monday night.
Yeah.
For it to happen. You had to play, you guys, but actually both of your teams had a player on Monday night. And yours just outperformed the other one. And that's
the
magic of fantasy football.
I was anxious Monday. I was anxious going into Monday. I was anxious.
Don't lie to me. Were you actually paying attention?
No, I never said I was anxious about the football game. I had the dentist appointment on Monday. I was very anxious going into Monday.
Oh, so you had your entire mouth
reconstructed? I had floor to ceiling, just,
just from tongue to palate, just.
And my dentist asked to, because I told him I was going to be doing a podcast about him, and he was like, "Oh, please send me the link." So if you're a dentist. First of all, Dr. Stevens, great guy, Tustin Dentistry. But Dr. Stevens, please pass this along to your dentist friends, because I think that there's a real Venn diagram crossover for like podcasters and dentists, because in both scenarios, you're just talking at people who can't really respond to you, which was my experience with him. It was a lot of rhetorical conversation of his. Exactly. But no, I went in there and I was I don't get nervous about a lot of things. I really don't, but I can handle pain. I'm really good about pain, except for like mouth pain, like sharp, like nerve ending pain.
Nerve ending pain is awful. Yeah.
So the process was this. And like, I get there and like, they were backed up. No big deal. Like they got a business to run and it's fine. So I had to wait. So they come in and they put like the numbing gel on me and then they like disappear for like 15 minutes, which is fine. They said that they were busy. You know, they're great people. This is not a reflection. It's more like how long I had to wait. So as I'm waiting for the gel, I'm like moving my tongue around my mouth. And I'm like, this is pretty numb. Okay, this gel is pretty good. But after 15 minutes, it's not numb at all. So like I've gone around and like I can feel everything in my mouth right now.
It wears off after 15 minutes.
So when they came back, I was like, so I can feel my mouth again. And they're like, oh yeah, we'll just reapply it. I was like, what's the timeline for this? And they were like, oh, it can go away pretty fast. I was like, cool. So we're going to pause and reapply, you know, generously as we're going. Here's what I had done loosely. They gelled my entire mouth and he took one of those spikes, those like spikes that has the water coming out of it. And he went around my entire gum line and just chiseled away all of the nerve endings that might be exposed, ugh, all of the crap and crud that was in there.
Sure.
And this doctor loved it. Now, here's the thing. I want a doctor that loves what they do. I do. I genuinely do. I don't want a doctor who's like weirded out by it, but like,
did he love it like Steve Martin's character?
No,
in A Little Shop of Horrors.
He was not about making me feel pain, but like, I imagine he probably loved it in the same way. Like so one of my guilty pleasures is I watch Clean Talk. So when you're on TikTok, you can usually put a word in front of the word talk. And then there's like a whole category dedicated to that thing, like dance talk. But clean talk is its own subcategory where they will take like the dirtiest, most disgusting houses or cars that have been sat out and they'll steam clean it and they'll just go over it over again and they'll nurse it back to like a bathroom that's like yellow and grungy and they'll just clean it until it's white and new again. And that gets me going. I'm not gonna lie, that hits me in the sweet spot. I love that.
So are you saying then that your next TikTok video after Fairy Goddaddy is just going to be a clean talk of you, like a camera pointed inside your, like the camera dolly is like right up in your mouth and you can time lapse him cleaning all the shit out of your mouth?
I honestly would. And honestly, considering most health insurance doesn't consider like dental work health insurance, I don't even think there's a HIPAA violation. Like I'm pretty sure they're just kind of like actually like, hey, you want to come and get your mouth cleaned? Yeah, you can film whatever you want. But as he's cleaning it, like, he keeps pausing to tell me how good of a job I'm doing, which is very nice of him. But then I also pause to tell him what a great job he was doing because I want him to feel positively reinforced as well because he's the one doing it. But every time he would stop to pull out, he'd be like, you're doing a really great job. And on the glove on his hand, I could just see the blood from my mouth on his hand. And I was like, you're doing a good job also, doc. Dentist has changed a lot over the years. You know how like when you lay in the dentist chair and they like have that like big bright light on you?
Mm-hmm, sure.
They gave me a pair of sunglasses. They were like,
no kidding.
Yeah, right? Pretty nice. The other thought I had while I was getting it done, which was an interesting thought. So one thing that I think a lot of people can relate to is hating the sound of like the thing scraping on your teeth, right?
Totally, yeah.
And because it's been, you know, a couple decades since I've gone and seen a dentist, I didn't think to bring like AirPods with me to listen to music to drown it out. But what you don't consider is how frequently the dentist and the nurses are hearing that sound. Because they're hearing that sound every patient all day.
Yeah.
You got to have a real immunity to that sound.
So the tools that he was using to excavate. Inside your mouth, was he doing it manually or was it an automatic like kind of?
No, it was manual.
Spinning. It was manual. Okay. So I know you have a problem with the sound of toothbrushing.
No, what? Not an issue.
No, not so scraping on the inside of your mouth was not an issue.
Just scraping is just a normal kind of like, this is not great, but understand that like I think the spic was shooting water out as well. So that was happening. The machine makes a sound to make the water shoot out.
Right.
And the other nurse is like suctioning like water out of my mouth. There's a lot of sounds going on at the same time.
It's a cacophony.
So I get the scrapey done, the scrapes done.
The scrapey.
And we paused in the middle because here's the thing. Like I can go through discomfort. I just want to know like what my progress is. Like the greatest thing that was ever invented is like the progress bar when you're updating something or when you're downloading something. I just need the bar to know how much longer I have to deal with this. And so as he's scraping, he gets like half my mouth done and he pulls out to like do something. And I go, hey, just to be clear, is this the thing? Remember the scrape, are we pre-gaming this or is this the actual thing that you need to do? He's like, no, it's this. And then we use the laser, right?
Now, the laser?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. So here's how the laser worked. Now, I don't know what delusional mindset I was in. I thought that if they were going to scrape all this crap around my mouth, that maybe, just bear with me, I don't know why my mind went here. It was like an ultraviolet or like an ultra red laser that like, the light will like kill the bacteria that might be released.
Okay.
I didn't, I forgot that lasers are like burny things. Like they burn things. So I get done the scrapey. Scrapey's done. Then he gives me like a whole fluoride thing that I gotta chew on. And that's the thing to kill the bacteria.
Right.
But here's the thing, Jared. Now he's scraped along my gum line. There's a little space up there. We don't want to get more shit up there.
True.
So he takes another tool that looks like the little hook scrapey thing, but with a laser on the end, and starts burning my gums and searing them to my teeth.
God, he cauterized your gums?
He cauterized my gums. Now, fun fact about it, definitely needed to reapply some of the numbing cream. I tried to suck it up for the first one or two, but then I was like, I'm like gripping the chair. I'm like, ah. So he numbs my whole mouth and he starts doing it. And seeing the smoke come up from my gums as he's burning my mouth was like, yeah, I should really start brushing for 2 minutes and flossing. Like I was like, it took me 39 years, but it finally clicked the importance of this stuff.
So this is the image that I have in my head, because obviously most of how I interact with the world is referring back to movies that I have seen. So stop me if this is a wrong way to picture this.
Go ahead.
So in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's in at Tanis in the map room, right?
Yeah.
And he's got the headpiece of the Staff of Ra and it's in the little slot.
Yep.
In the map room, and he's waiting for the sun to hit, right?
Yeah, I know.
To show him the location of the Ark of the Covenant. And then that beam comes right through and it hits the map room and shows is that kind of what was going on?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Except in this metaphor, the staff was a laser and the map room was my mouth. But everything else was pretty accurate. It was one of the most disturbingly uncomfortable feelings I've ever experienced. And shout out to Dr. Stevens, who is just a stellar dude and like a really genuinely, not just good at his craft, but also just a really genuinely good guy.
Here's the other question I have about dentistry in the age of COVID.
Yeah.
Because one thing I had heard was you, as the patient, can no longer spit.
Not spitting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't know the last time, like I haven't been to a dentist in a while, but like they've had that suction thing for a while. Yeah.
They have the suction thing, but like that's mainly for like if they're doing a procedure and they have to have the suction in there just to kind of keep the saliva from spilling out. But if you're in the middle of like a cleaning.
Oh, you can't rinse and spit.
Right. Exactly. That because that to me was always one of the main pieces of the procedure. They get done with like a quadrant of your mouth. You get some water, you swish it around and you spit in the little toilet bowl they got there.
Yeah. I wouldn't know because that's like the basic fluoride cleaning. And because what I was doing was so far beyond it, it's kind of like if you're demoing a house, like if you're going to demolish the whole thing, there's no point in knocking down the walls, right? Because you're just going to blow up the whole goddamn thing anyway. Why are you knocking down the wall? So,
well, no. If you're demolishing the whole thing, there's no point in waxing the floor. That's
right. Yeah, exactly. So, but that's a very good question. I know that they were wearing masks and
face shields,
which... Mm-hmm. You know, I would do anyway because it's people's mouths. It's crazy. But here's the thing. My mouth has felt fantastic ever since. And by the way, I think I was disillusioned as to how clean I thought my mouth felt prior to this. But it's like now I'm like, this feels much cleaner than I did before. But I also got a water pick, which is very cool. Very cool. I like anything that maximizes the results, but minimizes the amount of effort I have to put into it. That's really the spot I love to live in. And I don't like doing the floss thing because I feel what happens is it's not fundamentally, I don't have anything against flossing. Like I don't have anything against having that piece of thing in between my teeth. It's just, I feel like I'm there. And I'm like, I'm trying to gently edge it in. And then there's always a point where I push too hard.
And then
I hit my gums.
It goes to your eyeball. Yeah. It's awful. Yeah.
So the water pick, big fan of the water pick.
I've never flossed. I've never I never have.
Jared Stern commonality.
I like you. I never got comfortable with.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure if I had kept at it and tried to make it more of a habit, but like you start bleeding profusely one time, and that's gonna kind of turn you off to the whole process. Now I have been flossed when I would go to the dentist for regular cleanings. The technician would floss me.
Right.
And so my teeth have been flossed. But I have not been the one with the string in my hand.
I'm surprised with machines the way they are nowadays. Like, they can customize massage chairs where you could sit back in the chair and they got little rollers that go over every spot you need to do. Just give me a mouth guard with a bunch of bristles and water and shit. You put it in your mouth. It could be huge and uncomfortable. You bite down on the thing. It goes for 2 minutes, just does the whole thing like a car wash. You take it out.
I guarantee you that exists. And
I would buy this thing.
I've seen targeted ads for that. In fact, if you speak louder in front of your phone,
I was going to say,
you'll probably get that ad.
At this point, I'm going to get targeted ads as well. But yeah, I feel fantastic. I'm going back in the beginning of December for like a crown and like four or five cavities and fillings and stuff.
Wait a minute, they didn't take care of that while they were?
They didn't have the time. They didn't have the manpower to do it all. But no, yeah, I had to schedule it out in different places. But yeah, big Jared Stern recommendation for the dentist. If you have not gone to a dentist recently, do yourself a treat and go to the dentist.
I'm just waiting for my new batch of medical insurance to kick in.
Yeah.
First of the year. And then that will be one of the first places I go.
So that was my Monday.
Okay. What else you got?
I want to address something. And I feel like I talk about this every year, but I've never talked about it on stage or in a format where we can like really joke around about it. Mm-hmm. I think Thanksgiving is really stupid. Fundamentally, I think Thanksgiving is stupid.
Okay.
Right? Like, this entire holiday is based around like the pilgrims coming over and like essentially genociding the entire native people who are like here originally.
Well, yeah, I get it.
But it's extra insulting because we call it Thanksgiving. It's like we're thanking them for giving us their country. And we really are just thanking them for dying because we took it from them. It's thanks-taking more than anything else. So I've always had this theory, and I have a whole thing about Valentine's Day also, but we'll do that in February. But for Thanksgiving, I really think we need to start rebranding our holidays, not just for America, but I think that they can then be international as well. And so I think that the hubris of the human species, we're already too thankful for too many things that we don't deserve. Is that a fair statement? I think Thanksgiving needs to be rebranded. And I think instead of giving thanks for things that we have no right giving thanks for, we should really be taking accountability for actions and wrongs that we have done to other people. We should be owning up to wrongs for other people.
Imagine that's not nearly as fun a holiday.
But here's the thing. Everything else stays the same. You still get together with family, you eat the exact same goddamn food. But instead of giving thanks for things, it's not Thanksgiving, it's wrong zoning. I haven't come up with a good name. But like you reach out to people who you feel you may have wronged, disrespect, you bury the hatchet, you make amends with people that have, you know, you have that awkward energy, or maybe you had a fight with, you had a falling out, you clear the air, you take responsibility for the bad things you have done, and then you're clear and in a good mood to move into like the Christmas festive Jewish like Hanukkah holiday season.
So you would like to turn Thanksgiving into more of a day of atonement.
Yeah, like a Rosh Hashanah.
No.
We've talked about how I mixed these two up, right?
Well, first of all, what the fuck did you just call it?
Is it Rosh Hashanah?
It's Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh.
Okay.
Shaka Khan or whatever the fuck you just called it.
I said Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
I used to mix
by
up.
By the way, Shana was one of my favorite TV shows.
I used to mix up because I'm Jewish by last name, nose, and ethnicity. Those are the only things that make me Jewish. I'm not bar mitzvah or anything. But when I was growing up, I didn't know Yiddish at all. So I thought Day of Atonement, because it was two words, was Yom Kippur. Yom being day, Kippur being atonement. Mm-hmm. And then Rosh Hashanah just felt like, what is it, the new year?
Yeah. Rosh means head in Hebrew. So it's the head of the year.
So what I want to do is I want to take Thanksgiving and make it globally a Rosh Hashanah.
No, you want to make it globally a Yom Kippur.
God damn it. I want to make it a Yom Kippur. the Yomest of all the Kippurs. No, but I think that it's a better message to send to people. We could start by taking responsibility for the whole Native American thing. And let's be honest, Americans are not going to run out of shit that they need to own up to anytime in the near future.
And oh, I think sure. It's a, no, there's there is a litany of things that we are responsible for. And yeah, no, I
give it. And by the way, what better way to apologize to somebody and on a unilateral level than food, right? Isn't food the best like apology thing, or like the best like gift to make people feel good and comfort food. Thanksgiving is the holiday of comfort food, man. Like, you can have it where like you're just giving people like mashed potatoes and sweet potato stuffing. Who is not going to appreciate an apology and stuffing at the same time?
Carbs are a great way to say I'm sorry.
Right? Wrongsgiving. I'm leaning into this thing.
No.
Wrong's taking. Wrong's owning.
I do think that's a good name for it. Wrong's owning.
It also sounds slightly football-y. Like it's like an offside term for football. So like we can roll wrong's it in owning. That way. Yeah. I always liked Thanksgiving when I was younger because all of the adults and children and pretty much anybody other than me were so glued to the TV watching football that they didn't notice me sneaking upstairs and just putting like multiple rolls in my pocket and then like sneaking back down into the basement to eat them. Oh, carbs.
So, what are your plans for wrong zoning?
So for wrong zoning, Julie's parents are coming over, her brother is down, and then two of our friends are coming over. And Julie is cooking the feast. She is exceptional at this. And I'm going to be evolving a traditional dessert that was served at our Thanksgivings in the past, which was my Nana's white chocolate cheesecake.
Ooh.
And I hate white chocolate, but this thing is off the charts good. And so I got the recipe from her one time and I used to make it for people a bunch. And then for one Thanksgiving, I was like, what if I evolve this a little bit? So the evolution of it is a white chocolate pumpkin cheesecake.
Very nice.
With a cranberry compote and a nutmeg whipped cream.
Wow. That's downright gourmet.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty lit. It's pretty good. Did I just say lit?
You did.
I work way too much in the social media space.
That cheesecake is fire.
It is fire. By the kids' definitions, it is that thing. Like it is what that word represents.
It's 100% that thing.
Did you say it's, I think it's 100%.
I don't know.
I'm just making it to you. It's not 100. It's 100. It's, I don't know. We're not the people to define this.
Exactly. You're not helping in any way, shape,
or form. What are you doing for wrong zoning?
Wrong zoning. So it's going to be a very small wrong zoning. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be me and Andrea and Winnie and my parents will be coming over.
Oh, that's great.
And we're not doing a ton of cooking. We got Thanksgiving through Blue Apron.
Really?
Yeah. So they've provided all the food so that because basically we didn't want to go shopping for a turkey.
Yeah.
And also, it always ends up being too much goddamn food. There's only four people eating.
Yeah.
We don't need leftovers for the ensuing week. So we're trying to be responsible about the amount of food we're going to be cramming down our gullets on the day. So it's like it's two half chickens and then there's a potato dish and Andrea has a cornbread stuffing recipe that she's going to be making. And yeah, it'll be a nice relaxing holiday.
So you're having chicken for wrong zoning,
yes.
Which by the way, I think stays in line because you've murdered enough turkeys over the lifetime of you celebrating Thanksgiving.
We have pardoned the turkeys. Yes. We're
pardoning the turkey this year. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to like a big cooking holiday, like Thanksgiving or Christmas, if people aren't doing a big meal, they feel this need to like really overly justify it. Like, I don't think you went over the top just now, but you were like, okay, like you have to understand that we're a small group of people. Like, we didn't want to throw, like, I don't want to get a bunch of shit for this. Like, this is why we're not cooking. There's always like this feeling of defensiveness.
We have just realized our limitations. So we just want to minimize the amount of effort that we're putting into things and focus more on enjoying the food that we end up making.
I don't want to say saddest, but the Thanksgiving that occurred after I got divorced, we celebrated separately. She was out of the country for Thanksgiving and I was by myself. And so I worked at a restaurant. I was bartending at a restaurant and then I came home from the restaurant and wherever I was working, went to the grocery store, picked up some sliced deli turkey, some canned gelatin cranberry, some potatoes, some bread. And I just made myself a day after Thanksgiving sandwich on Thanksgiving, which leads me to my next question.
Yes.
Can you recall the greatest day after Thanksgiving sandwich you ever had?
That's a fine question.
Are you a big day after Thanksgiving sandwich guy?
Well, I don't know that I'm a day after Thanksgiving sandwich guy, but I am certainly a make a giant plate of things that are left over guy.
This is where a number of our listeners are going to be very surprised, because the day after Thanksgiving sandwich is almost as much a tradition as the Thanksgiving meal itself, I would argue to say. And I'm genuinely surprised that you've never done this type of thing.
No, I'm sure I have. I'm sure I've made a turkey sandwich. What? No, I know what you're talking about. You take the turkey and the stuffing and the gravy and whatever's left over and the cranberry sauce, or and you put it between two pieces of bread and you make a sandwich, right?
Or a roll, or whatever. I've done day after Thanksgiving pizzas one time where I took a thing and spread. Yeah. But like the fact that you just referred to it as I've made turkey sandwiches before, we're continuing to shock listeners at this point who are sitting there going, how is this man never like traditionalized a day after Thanksgiving? Like, this is a big thing. I would argue to say, and people who listen, give us feedback on this. I would argue to say that the day after Thanksgiving sandwich is almost as much a tradition as the actual Thanksgiving meal.
I have not ritualized the leftover process quite to that degree.
I'm going to throw it on Instagram. We'll do a poll. And I genuinely want to see what the response is. And we'll take a look at the results next week. But no, day after Thanksgiving, I recommend you try this. My big thing, for those of you who are listening and going, I was very interested in this conversation and you guys comparing recipes. Little pro tip about the day after wrongsgiving sandwich and by wrongzoning sandwich. And by the way, one of the wrongs that you need to own up to is never really experiencing a day after Thanksgiving sandwich.
But I feel like this is a bad year to do that, because we are engineering this meal to minimize leftovers. So and it's not even going to be turkey. It's going to be chicken.
By the way, so, as you were telling me your story about how you were doing like the Blue Apron thing, like I was nodding and nodding. And then you got to the point where you were like, because we want to minimize the leftovers, because usually there's too much. And that's where you lost me. And I'm assuming a number of other people, because I will eat wrongzoning leftovers for an entire week after wrongzoning.
I'm a huge fan of leftovers after the day, but I am just...
Is it not your palate thing? Is like the turkey with the gravy and is that in your wheelhouse?
It's completely my wheelhouse. I love turkey. I love gravy. I love it all. No, I'm a huge. The only thing I could do without is the cranberry sauce.
Okay, so here's another thing that I'm gonna have to toss on, because this is something I get shit for, because Julie makes cranberry sauce from scratch, which is delicious, but I need that canned gelatin shit that like has the little rings still like engraved into it. It's like a necessity for me. I like both. I'll combine both together.
Cranberry sauce was never really a part of our Thanksgiving table growing up, so I never really developed a taste for it.
Well, it appears that sliced bread wasn't either, because you never had a wrongzoning sandwich either. And this is not a reflection on your family as a whole. I'm just genuinely surprised that you never, like, listen, this is such a standard tradition in my mind.
I am sure that in years past, I have taken leftover turkey and leftover stuffing and leftover potatoes and jammed them between two pieces of bread. I just don't make it. It's not a tradition. It's not it's not something that I mark an occasion with. It's just a sandwich.
Let me make this make sense for you. You know, when we first started talking and we were kind of discussing like what we could do on the podcast and like our similarities and differences. Do you remember the moment when you found out I wasn't a sports guy? Like, do you remember how confused you were? You were like, what do you mean, like any sports? Because I didn't start with just football. I was like, yeah, I'm not a sports guy. And you were like, wait a minute. Like, what do you mean by sports? And I was like, I don't watch football. He's like, you don't watch football? And I believe I responded and I said, don't get me wrong. Like, if a game is on in the bar or if it's around, I'll watch a game. I just don't make a thing about it. Like, it's not like a big thing for me. Okay. That's the level of what I'm experiencing and a number of listeners are experiencing right now.
I beg to differ, sir, because there is no way, because I am a very enthusiastic eater. I don't know if you
this is what confuses
a
me.
Full body shot of me recently, but it fills up the frame. I'll tell you that much. Yes, I love food. I love leftover food. I love taking leftover food and putting them in different mediums than they were served to me initially. But I don't think that because I don't make like a special sandwich the day after, that it has And that is, there's no parallel between that and the fact that you don't know that the back of a boat is the stern.
No. So here's what I'm going to say. Friends dedicated an entire episode to this subject matter when Ross got upset that somebody ate his Moist Maker, because what he did was, for his day after Thanksgiving sandwich, he took a piece of bread and soaked it in gravy and put it in the middle of the sandwich. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Imagine in your mind how many holidays or how many days of the year are dedicated to eating a specific type of food.
So many.
That like everybody on the same page eats the same item. So like, for example, on St. Patrick's Day, it is very known to drink a Guinness. It is an Irish beer. You drink a Guinness as a tribute on St. Patrick's Day.
Sure.
On Thanksgiving, turkey is the tradition, right? Do you know of any other holidays that fall into that type of category?
Yeah, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, right?
With potato latkes.
Right.
Which I have made sandwiches that have latkes instead of bread.
Okay.
So suck it. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's tons of holidays that
I'm telling you that if you put out there a list of things that people traditionally eat on a given day every year, the day after Thanksgiving sandwich ranks in the top five. Not the top three.
I had no idea.
I don't think I'm as passionate about most food as I am the day after Thanksgiving sandwich. And big tip for those of you who do it, don't keep the turkey sliced. Just hear me out on this. Chop the turkey up into like little, almost like cubes, like if you were chopping like a cheesesteak or something, throw that on a skillet with the cornbread, with some gravy, get that all together, and then use your mashed potatoes and your cranberry on the top and the bottom as like a spread. Throw it all together. And a little bit of a pro tip, when you're using a roll, use a roll, like a hoagie roll or a sub roll. Take a little bit of that bread out of the middle of it, so it makes a little like trough that you can put that in. Just thank me later. Just thank me. Thank me next time.
Okay.
But my God, this is, because here's the thing. I had like a whole like thing in my head that we were going to go back and forth and compare like different versions of what we've done. And this is the first major like normal thing that I'm the one that does it and you don't, because normally it's reversed. Normally,
it's the other way around,
normally right? you're the constant as far as like being a normal human being, and I'm like the variable Jared Stern, where it's like I'm not much of a sports guy. Jared, are you wearing makeup right now? Yeah, just a little concealer, just for a podcast.
All right. Well, listen. I'm not going to have the proper raw materials to make a good one, but for you, I will make a sandwich a day after wrong zoning sandwich.
You don't even know. Marianne Stern is going to drop one of these things off to you. My family is going to make you one and drop this thing off at your door. They know where you live.
Yeah, sure. I will happily accept a day after Thanksgiving sandwich.
Wrong zoning
family.
Wrong zoning, by the way, sounds like we're combining something with the word calzone. It has a very Italian.
Yeah, it sounds wrong like zone. Wrong and zone. Like that's.
Yeah.
Let me own up to that wrong right now. I apologize.
This might be the longest segment we've ever done on this show. Is this conversation about this day after Thanksgiving sandwich?
One thing I want to hit on,
sure,
real quick, as we wrap things up. First of all, I want to say, and I know we've said this numerous times on the show, especially recently, since we reached a listenership milestone recently. But I want to say how thankful I am and how wrong I want to own. I want to say how thankful I am that this is episode 40. This is the 40th episode of this podcast. You can now go back through our back catalog and find your 10 favorite episodes four different times. You could make four different lists of 10 episodes each. And yeah, and go nuts. It's every year I say to myself, I want to produce more and consume less. Yeah. I want to be able to create instead of consume. And this has been a really fun fucking creation, hasn't it been?
This has been awesome. I mean, it genuinely has been. And I will say, I'll piggyback off of what you said. Not only am I super thankful for the people who are listening, but I am so thankful for you being the type of guy that we can do 40 of these things with.
Because I know, right?
statistically, we should have gotten tired of each other after episode 10. Like we should, at episode 10, it should start becoming like a chore where it's like, God damn it, I got to go talk to Jared again this week. But it's just been a pleasure. I attest that to the fact that we can't see each other regularly. I think if we live near each other and like could hang out with each other consistently, then maybe.
Oh yeah, maybe we would tire of each other.
We would tire of each other, but like I got to tell you, through this pandemic, through moving back out to California, through kind of having my social life and my routine shaken up, talking to you each week has just been an anchor for me. It's been like a mental and emotional anchor that I look forward to every week. And genuinely, thank you to you, and also thank you to everybody who's listening. To those who reach out and say things. On this note, my good friend Matt said, if you ever need me to come on the show to also talk about things that you did in the past that were hilarious, please let me know. And I told him, absolutely.
Well, that's right. I think last episode you were lamenting the fact that you didn't have your own personal fan to bring you on the show to talk about shit that they liked about you.
By the way, Chris told a joke that you said there, mm-hmm. and I didn't get a chance to respond to how funny it was. The even you can be condescending joke, which how does it go? I don't think I got the full gist of it. What is the joke?
The joke comes from a list of book titles, fake book titles. It's weird. I actually haven't done that joke in a while. I compartmentalize my material, and mm-hmm. that section of the act has kind of gone in the mouthballs for a little bit, telling the audience I do other things besides being a comedian. I'm also an author. I just finished a self-help book for people with ADHD. It's a flip book. And I also have a couple working titles. Here I want to run them by you guys, see if you guys like them. And one of them is Even You Can Be Condescending. You know, another one is Cough Your Way to Six-Pack Abs. Live Life Vicariously. Now, for those of you who don't know what vicariously means, watch someone else look it up.
That's good.
Yeah.
I just love the line, Even You Can Be Condescending. Mm-hmm. I think it's just such a great line.
It belongs on a t-shirt, and I don't know why I haven't made it yet. But yeah, thank you to you as well. Like,
oh,
obviously we're a team, you know.
We are a team.
We can't, this doesn't work if there's not two Sterns. You know what I'm saying?
It's just so. It's just next to a Jared Stern at that point.
It's just Jared Stern adjacent to something. That's essentially what it is.
Almost as catchy.
Almost. But it's been fun, and I'm looking forward to what comes next. Speaking of what might come next, I don't know if you've been watching the Twitters or the social media, but the trailer for Ooh. DC Super Pets just dropped, directed by one Jared Stern, not one of these Jared Sterns, but
not us.
another Jared Stern who's in another stratosphere. I emailed him. I wanted to see if he's interested in coming back on the show to update us. Who knows? That could have been a one-shot thing, and he could just be tired of us. One and done.
It could be. What if this is our arc? Because remember how like getting Jared Stern on the show for the first time was like big thing, and it took us like no effort at all.
Yeah.
What if Jared Stern is like that person you dated, but you didn't appreciate at the time, and like you just kind of took him for granted. So we got him on, and then they moved on. And now our whole journey is trying to prove that we're worth him coming back on the show. We've already done it once. We just need to, essentially it's capturing lightning in a bottle the second time.
Sure. And that's so easy to do because that's why they made that phrase.
Where did the phrase capturing lightning in a bottle come from?
I think it's just because it's a metaphor for energy in a tightly compressed area. And it's very difficult to catch lightning because it's energy. And
but a bottle, like if it's back then, a bottle is a small apparatus. It was like catch lightning in a tub. And they were like, well, that's too easy. Let's move on to something smaller. Catch lightning in a Tupperware, smaller, in a bottle. Now we've found a challenge.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the genesis of that phrase was, but we'll check Wikipedia and we'll get back to you.
That's right. Oh, maybe this is our outro. I don't know. Have you seen the trend going around on Instagram where you look up your name on Urban Dictionary?
No.
And then you post it. So there's a whole trend going around on the Instagrams. It's fire. I mean, this is a lit trend. It's 100. But you look up your name on Urban Dictionary, and I happen to look up our names. And due to me being just, I can't post this, but I will read for you what the Jared Urban Dictionary is. And I was nervous going into this because it's not your first and last name. It's just your first name. I should have been clear. So you look up your first name on Urban Dictionary. And given the history of our first name, I was a little nervous going into this. I curbed my expectations, but
okay.
And this is spelled correctly. This is the J-A-R-E-D. There's no variations. It's not like grandfathering in the O-D's or the R's. So
right. It's the only spelling there is.
Yes. Jared, a guy who has it all. Great personality, witty, charming, incredible looks, and smart. Perfect, compassionate lover with the know-how to make you feel your best. Has an ego buried deep inside, very sensitive, and doesn't know just how great he is. Always thinking he's not enough, bashful at first, but once you get to know him, he turns into the coolest and funniest person you will ever meet. Can be very jealous, but extremely cute when he is. The most perfect, wanted, and needed guy. Now,
that entry was written by Jared Stern.
I know I didn't write it, but I'm assuming one of the three of us wrote it because...
I mean, is Urban Dictionary like Wikipedia? Do people just put stuff on there?
Yeah, yeah. So Urban Dictionary is kind of like the
it's like normally, for slang.
Yeah, it's like slang for like dirty stuff, like things that they like. Urban Dictionary being like common, like lit would be in there, fire would be in there, 100 would be in there. It's prominent, and it notoriously has like a dirty or inappropriate vibe to it, right? Like things that you and I would understand that my parents wouldn't. Skeet would be in there, right?
Okay. Right.
Mom and Dad, don't look up Skeet.
Yeah, right. And we're not talking about the shooting, although kind of.
But so when I heard that it was an Urban Dictionary trend and it was Jared, I was like, oh no. And then I read this and I was like, my God.
I want that framed and put on my fucking wall. What are you
How
talking about?
Accurate can a definition be?
It is literally the definition of Jared.
Right? Stern. So, I looked up Stern, and Stern's definition is a piece of shit. So. Hey, everybody. Thanks for sticking your ears between two Sterns.
Please leave us a 5-star review, even if it's a sarcastic one.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Have an idea for the show, or are you also Jared Stern?
Shoot us an email. You can find links to everything at jaredstern.com.